puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, we're visiting a building in rural Manitoba that is really quite dandy. You could even say it makes me quake just talking about it. It's a 123-year-old former United Church that for 56 years served people in the village of Dand.
Whereabouts is Dand?
Well, you could be excused for not knowing about it. It was named for early settler Thomas Dand, and it was located due north of Deloraine, about 10 miles. Now, it was never much more than a railway siding with a few buildings. When I visited Dand 10 years ago, its three-classroom school and a pair of grain elevators were long gone. The only building of any consequence that was left there was a United Church, and well, frankly, it didn't look especially active. I later learned that it had been closed 7 years earlier.
Your clue said that talking about the church made you quake. Why is that?
Well, because it was not always a United Church, and it was not always at Dand. And unlike a lot of small rural churches that are sitting abandoned all over Manitoba, the one at Dand has a really interesting future ahead of it.
What was the church before it was united? Was it Methodist, Presbyterian?
Well, those certainly would be reasonable guesses, because in 1925, the United Church of Canada was formed by the union of Methodist, Presbyterian, and Congregational faiths. Prior to 1925, there were numerous Methodist and Presbyterian churches around southern Manitoba, but in this case, no. The church in question was never one of those. Instead, it was used by a Protestant Christian group called the Religious Society of Friends, known more commonly as the Quakers. Although it's a small denomination, you know, having only about 360,000 adherents worldwide, the Quakers had a small but dedicated following here in early Manitoba.
When did the Quakers come to Canada?
Well, they've been here a very long time, in fact, before Canada existed. The first meeting of Quakers occurred at Adolphustown, Ontario, back in 1798, probably of people who had immigrated here from England. Now, it's likely that some of the earliest settlers who came to Manitoba from Ontario were Quakers. In January of 1899, a group of them organized a meeting at Hartney, southwest of Brandon, with 10 congregants under the leadership of Alma Gould Dale. Now, Mrs. Dale had abandoned her husband at Uxbridge, Ontario, and came to Manitoba as a missionary to establish a Quaker presence here.
It seems unusual for a woman to be a religious leader in 1899.
Well, certainly there had been Catholic nuns here for many decades by that point, but I'll go out on a limb and say that I think Mrs. Dale was the first female minister in Manitoba. Now, interestingly, her status as a Christian minister was not at odds with Quaker philosophy. Since the very early days of the faith in England, women were encouraged to participate fully. So, coming back to this group at Hartney, they held monthly meetings in a one-room school 7 miles south of Hartney near a group of small water bodies called the Chain Lakes. One of Mrs. Dale's cousins, who was homesteading south of Hartney, donated land near his home for a meeting place and a cemetery. Quakers in Ontario and elsewhere donated towards the construction of a simple one-room building, and the first service in that building occurred in October of 1899. Now, just a word of explanation. There is a subtle but important distinction in that what we are talking about is not called a Quaker church. Quakers believe the word church should be reserved for a group of people who hold certain religious views, and the building in which the church meets is called a meeting house. So we're talking about a Quaker meeting house here.
Having succeeded in establishing a Quaker meeting house in Manitoba, did Mrs. Dale move on?
No, indeed. She remained the pastor for the church, serving off and on, until poor health necessitated her resignation in 1908. She later moved to England and died there in August of 1930 at the age of 75. By that time, the people meeting at Chain Lakes had changed their affiliation, joining in 1925 with a congregation at Lauder to form the Dand Union Church. You know, even though it was actually about 2 miles from the village of Dand itself, later that year, 1925, it became Dand United Church, of course, when the faiths became formally the United Church of Canada. 1949, after 50 years of operation alongside Highway 21, the building was actually moved then into Dand itself. It was put on a full basement. An addition was made at one end of the building to provide space for Sunday school classes and a choir room. In the early 1950s, the ownership of the building was formally and finally transferred by the Quakers to the United Church. Now, something really interesting happened in 1958. You know, at that time, female ministers were still quite the rarity in Manitoba, yet the little church at Dand hosted its second female minister in Reverend Carol Palmer. Reverend Palmer subsequently married one of the local bachelors from the Dand area, and over the next few decades, she served United Churches at several places around southern Manitoba.
You referred earlier to an interesting future for the church. What did you mean?
Well, after the Dand United Church closed in 2005, due to the unfortunate but very common problem of declining attendance, the church sat vacant for several years. About 10 years ago, a group of local citizens purchased the building, and their plan was to move it back to the original site, the one that had been first set up by the Quakers along the highway. But the use to which it would be put there wasn't entirely clear, and those plans never came to fruition. Instead, last August, the building was moved straight north, about 3/4 of a mile southeast of its original location, to a quite picturesque site on the shore of the Chain Lakes. And I'm told by locals that the owner intends to use the building as a teaching center for something called regenerative farming.
What is regenerative farming?
Well, it's an emerging view among farmers that present-day farming practices are unsustainable in the long term, that prairie agriculture has contributed to global climate warming. You know, things like soil organic matter has been depleted, soil biodiversity has been reduced, and the industry is simply too dependent on non-renewable fossil fuels. Now, there are innovative thinkers in the agricultural community who are proposing ways that farming could be done differently. An example is David Rourke of Minto, who recently published a book on how farmers can reduce their carbon emissions. Farmers around Manitoba are starting to put these ideas into practice. So, you know, in a very real way, it's exciting to think that this old Quaker meeting house that once hosted people who thought in a different way about the practice of religion, so for example, to recognize women as full participating members, should now be connected to a new use that will lead more people to practice agriculture differently. You know, and it seems to me that this is a wonderful example of how an abandoned building can be reused in a creative, productive way. And that's something that truly makes me quake with excitement.
The building must have so much inspiration in there. It's making people think in creative, interesting ways. Thanks so much,
Absolutely.
Gordon.
Absolutely.
And what's up for next week?
Well, last August, I spent an enjoyable day exploring in the Whiteshell Provincial Park, where we found several abandoned concrete or steel structures that dated back to before the park was established. Those structures will be our subject next week.
I look forward to that.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.